Tuesday was a good night for the Democratic establishment of New York, as the party's preferred candidates won most of their races, including at the top of the ticket with Kathy Hochul and Antonio Delgado. To help us make sense of these results, we're joined once again on the Capitol Press Room by Neil Quatra, founder of Metropolitan Public Strategies, which works with liberal candidates and causes. Welcome back to the show, Neil.
Thank you, David.
So Governor Hochul appears likely to win about two-thirds of the Democratic primary vote, with her challenger to her left, a New York City public advocate, Jumaane Williams, getting about 20% of the vote, and her challenger to her right, Congressman Tom Suozzi, getting about 12% of the vote. Any surprises in those numbers?
No, not really. I mean, David, if you go back to the 2014 election for a second, we've seen a pretty consistent through line for these progressive candidates, where there seems to be a ceiling of about a third of the vote. So Zephyr Teachout in 2014 got about 35%. Cynthia Nixon in 2018 got somewhere in the same neighborhood, a little less. And now the combination of Jumaane Williams and Tom Suozzi get about a third of the vote. Suozzi's vote obviously is less progressive, more moderate and conservative, but I think that third of a discontented Democratic electorate, I think, showed up again. And it's pretty limited, I think, is what we're seeing, at least in these statewide primaries.
Well, it's interesting to hear you initially frame it as the progressive vote, because like you say, Tom Suozzi, I don't think would be identified as a progressive. So does it seem like there's really just a third of primary voters, at least on the Democratic side, who are, I guess, anti-incumbent?
I mean, I think there's definitely an anti-establishment block in the electorate and in the party. They tend to have more progressive options than conservative options. I think Suozzi was a bit of an anomaly. And frankly, you know, I think we, you know, most of us understood Jumaane would probably outperform Suozzi, but I do think, you know, even Jumaane's number on his own was a little weak vis-a-vis what we've seen from some other progressive candidates in these statewide primaries.
I think the general consensus around Jumaane Williams' campaign was that it was a lot less enthusiastic than his lieutenant governor campaign 4 years ago. And it's possible that that could be a reflection of things going on in his personal life. He had a premature child born earlier this year. His wife was battling cancer. But when you think about the actual campaign that he ran, do you think he could have had much better performance than 20% with a more aggressive campaign, with a campaign that, you know, had television ads, for example, or had him more present on the campaign trail?
I mean, look, obviously more resources, more ubiquity, more aggressive campaigning usually yields more votes. Having said that, I think a lot of what we saw in that 2018 lieutenant governor race, I would argue, was as much some Democratic discontent at the top of the ticket that flowed down ballot as anything else. I think you had definitely a more vigorous campaign that Jumaane waged. And I think the grassroots at the time were more invested. And I think that's why he got a better result in that race. So I'm not sure the outcome would have changed all that much here. But clearly, if he had more money, if he was able to do paid voter contact, probably would have been able to yield some more votes. But I don't think the dynamic would have changed all that much.
We had about 1.5 million votes cast in the Democratic gubernatorial primary 4 years ago. There's going to be well under a million votes in this year's race. Does that tell us anything about November, about Kathy Hochul, about the Democratic Party? How do you read into that result?
Yeah, look, I think clearly a couple of things are at play. One, Democrats are not nearly as motivated as they have been in past cycles. I think that's been a national problem, not a New York problem. I read somewhere the other day where 60% of all votes that have been cast in primaries across the country have been GOP voters. So I think there's clearly, we understand there's a bit of an enthusiasm gap right now for Democrats. And I think the question is going to be ultimately, you know, these issues that are obviously roiling the country and driving our news cycles, from guns to overturning Roe v. Wade. Like, the question is going to be if Democratic voters are more motivated by some of those realities that they're now being confronted with, or if the discontent with national Democratic leaders, the president, sort of flows down to a more impotent, frankly, performance for Democrats. I think that's something that they need to be really worried about. I think the other thing at play, though, here in this race versus 2018 is in 2018, there was an enormous amount of earned media coverage on that race. You had a celebrity challenger to an incumbent governor. This race just didn't generate nearly as much enthusiasm. And frankly, none of the candidates from Governor Hochul to Swazi or Jumaane really were doing anything close to the kind of campaigning we saw 4 years ago. So I do think that we have a bunch of different dynamics at play that resulted in a much more tepid turnout for Democrats. But it's definitely cause for concern, because if you're a Democrat and you're not showing up in a primary, it definitely speaks to the potential of a lot of Democrats potentially, you know, sitting on their hands in November as well. The other point I would make is, and we've seen this now in the last couple of years, especially in Democratic primaries, is it used to be, David, that you could look at a race and you could say, okay, let me look at this electorate and let me see which Democrats have voted in the last two elections or two of the last three primaries. And maybe that's how you, what would inform your targeting. But in last year's mayoral race, the Democratic primary in New York City, we saw hundreds of thousands of first-time voters, and we saw consistent primary voters not show up in big numbers. So there's a lot of different dynamics at play that are roiling the electorate. None of them are really great for Democrats, notwithstanding last night's victories.
Well, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're breaking down the Democratic primary results with Neil Quatra, founder of Metropolitan Public Strategies. If I'm a Tom Suozzi voter from the primary, where am I going after Tuesday's results? Will I be coming home to Kathy Hochul in November, or am I potentially looking for a new candidate, potentially GOP nominee Lee Zeldin in the fall, especially considering how a lot of Suozzi's messaging on public safety, which was really the raison d'etre for his campaign, might sound like what the GOP is offering in November?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question, David. I mean, look, Suozzi's performance was really weak, and so there aren't a lot of Suozzi voters that would be determinative, I think, in November. But to the extent that they are, look, I think Long Island is clearly going to be, you know, a challenge for Democrats in the fall. But the places where Tom Suozzi performed well, like, you know, Whitestone, Queens, and the more conservative parts of New York City, those voters tend to come home in the fall. So look, some of them may migrate if you have a more moderate Zeldin presenting himself to those voters with a compelling message on public safety and the economy and inflation. But I tend to think even those Suozzi voters are likely to come home to a Kathy Hochul, if not just sit on their hands. So I don't think we're going to see a wholesale necessarily movement of Suozzi voters to the GOP column.
There had been some questions about whether Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado, who settled into his new job a month ago, would have enough time to put together a winning campaign. And to be clear, I think a lot of that speculation came from reporters who were hoping it would be a competitive race. He clearly did have enough time to get into this race because he cruised to victory, just like Kathy Hochul. With the dust settled, why do you think he was able to win a statewide race on what was it? Obviously an abbreviated campaign schedule. Was it just because he had the party establishment behind him?
I mean, the party establishment and a real disparity in resources. I mean, Delgado had millions of paid voter contact on his behalf, and his opponents didn't. I think the only surprising thing to me, honestly, about this outcome was how much discourse there was, especially downstate, about the potential for him losing, which frankly, those of us, you know, who watch and do elections really didn't see that at play. In these kinds of down ballot elections, money tends to, you know, really triumph. And so, yes, I think the combination of the party establishment, you know, the bubble of New York City and Twitter, I think, you know, helped to inform a little bit of how people were thinking about that race. He was not as visible or ubiquitous, but he was doing a lot of paid voter contact, which ultimately yielded the votes that he needed.
Looking down the ballot, there were more than two dozen Assembly Democratic incumbents who had primaries, and all but three appear to be heading back to Albany next year. Do these results, when considered in the context of the top of the ticket, signify anything about the direction or control of the Democratic Party, at least, you know, with a few hours of insight?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think clearly it was not a good night for the left or you know, progressives writ large, challenging incumbents in the establishment. I think, though, if you look at the races where progressives were successful and the left was successful, Sarana against Kevin Cahill, Shimsky in Westchester, I mean, these were candidates that had a particular focus, and in this case, it was climate that was a motivating factor, I think, for voters in those non-New York City districts. I think it's notable that the two of the wins that did come from the left came outside of New York City. So, I mean, clearly, you know, as we talked about at the outset, we have a bit of a ceiling for the left and progressives in statewide races. I think we're seeing that in down ballot races as well, unless you have candidates that are both resourced and can build some inroads into traditional voter turnout operations like unions. And we just haven't seen that from a lot of candidates, from a lot of these challengers on the left, with some very few exceptions.
Does it matter that candidates like Abinanti and Cahill are personally not well-liked? Because it seems like the more popular ones, like Assemblyman Santa Barbara upstate, or thinking about like people personally, like Michael Benedetto in New York City, did, you know, much better and were able to hold on to their seats.
Yeah, look, likability in politics is a real thing. And if voters feel like you've ignored them or you've not engaged with them or been responsive to them, or yeah, that matters at the end of the day. And in this case, I think those two incumbents also had going for them that they had very, you know, well-organized opponents. But yeah, I think likability, you know, definitely matters.
Governor Hochul made a comment on Tuesday night to the effect that she will be a boon for down ballot Democrats. Is there any reason to believe in November that the governor is going to help Democrats running in competitive races for Congress or state legislature?
I don't think we have enough to say definitively yet, but I think that is, you know, an understandably bullish sentiment from the governor. I think it's going to be very difficult for any Democrat at the top of the ticket, even if, you know, they're perceived as strong or are strong, to have real coattails this fall, just given the environment for Democrats. So I'm a bit more skeptical. I think Governor Hochul, you know, has a very good shot of winning, partly because, you know, she's run a very smart operation thus far, but she has an opponent who had to run very far to the right and is going to, I think, have a lot of challenges coming back to the center and appealing to, you know, a lot of the voters he's going to need to build a majority. But if the question is, you know, whether she has coattails, I think, you know, that's still very much an open question. I think it'll be very difficult for any Democrat, really in any state across the country, to have authentic coattails this fall.
Well, we've been speaking with Neil Quatra, founder of Metropolitan Public Strategies. Neil, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, David, as always.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.